Moore's hoping for a miracle there with that key. I'm sorry. Is it me or?
Amen.
Amen. Good praise being house God. Of God.
Amen.
Praise
all
God.
The good mess out in the world. I mean, yes. That's why I just quit listening to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost gets you down if you didn't know better.
Chatter.
But thank God for revelation. Yes. Thank God I know what's going on. I know
clear
what's going
understand.
On. I know where we're at. I know, I know where it's heading.
Right.
Amen. Let's sing page 192. Every praise.
Every praise.
And I'm praising for it.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Every praise. Hallelujah.
Ready for what God's got tonight. I come ready.
Amen.
I come with
Amen.
A big pot. I say, Lord, I need you.
Yes.
I need you now.
Yeah.
Every praise is to our God, every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise
is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise
is to our God.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
God, my Savior.
Yes, He is.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise
is to our God. God, my Savior, God, my Healer, God, my Deliverer. Oh, yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise, every praise, every praise. Every praise is to our God.
Amen. Amen. I got a song I want to sing tonight. It's called I Sing Because I'm Happy. And the lyrics go, I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, so I know.
I know.
I know He watches me.
Yes.
Guys, I'm good. I'm happy to be here tonight. Yes. Bless. Hope I don't ruin this. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I am free. I know His eye is on the sparrow, so I know He sing the hallelujah. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I am free. Oh, His I know He watches
watches me. Oh, yes, I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I know I'm free. I'm free, I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
One more time.
And I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I know I'm free. I'm free, I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come here tonight with an expectation that we're going to hear from you. You've done it time and time again. Lord, bless the hearing the speaker to get out of the way. We came here just to hear from you, Lord. We don't want ideas, thoughts, or creeds. We're here for the pure word of God. And you've always delivered. Lord, as our hearts are open, we're coming, like the pastor said, to see the doctor. We've got needs, Lord, some spoken, some unspoken. Lord, I'm earnestly praying for the healing for the Brinkmans. Lord, I'm watching and waiting for the day to see Kara holding the baby. Lord, I'm looking forward to seeing Sister Anna look back at me. Lord, I'm anxious to see Brother Trevor get here and speak his testimony himself. Lord, those are just small prayers. Those are just children's bread. Those are crumbs that you said, that you've already said you promised that would happen. Lord, bless the service. Let it be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. I'm excited about being at church. Amen. You know, I missed you guys this Sunday. And we had something to do in Cincinnati on Saturday. And my silly self didn't set an alarm. Didn't do what I needed to do to get up. And I missed you guys. End up waking up late on Sunday in Cincinnati and coming back in town and missing church. And it was gnawing at me. And it bothered me. And I thought, how can I get this off of me? Because I'm going to tell you, give me 1 minute. So I like to, you know, when I do different classes and stuff like that, and you can tell somebody that's actually been successful at something, or people that's just talking about something. Somebody that's actually made $1 million can tell you step by step how they made $1 million. But if you theorize about how to make $1 million, your plan may be proven, may not be proven. So I'm going to tell you how I overcame. I'm going to tell you how I did it. I'm going to walk you through it step by step, because this may happen to you one day. You may miss a Wednesday night. You may miss a Sunday. And you're going to beat yourself up. And the first thing that I did, I started justifying a little bit. Well, I go to all the other Sundays. I make most of the church appointments. I'm there a lot of the times. Just this one time won't be a problem. Now, this is in my head. I'm talking to me. I'm thinking, I'm trying to justify it. I'm just trying to justify. But it's just not sitting right. The justification that I'm trying to put on it is I'm forcing something. I'm forcing something that just don't feel right with my soul. Because that still small voice says, forsake not to gather yourself that much more as you see the day approaching. Don't get lax now. This ain't the time to get relaxed now. This ain't the time to fall back from the fire now. This is the time to jump into it even more. You're almost home. So that didn't match the word, so I couldn't let it quite sit there. Then so I was like, oh, well, I'll make sure I'm there tonight. Well, I don't know if I'm going to get tonight. I don't know if I'm going to make tonight. I got to make this right now. So what I did, I said, how can I make this right now? Because I feel like I let you down. You need me. I need you and you need me. I'm telling you what was going on in here. I started thinking, wait, the body needs me. So I need to make this right with the body. I'm going to make this right with my head. I said, Lord, just forgive me.
Amen.
Because anything that takes you away from the house of God is Satan.
That's right.
And I'm going to make sure I guard against that much more.
Amen.
If that ever happens again.
Amen.
I'll set 3 alarms if I need
yes.
to. I'll sleep at the church if I need to. Because it's that important to get to the house.
Right.
Now, after I said that message, that Lord, forgive me, I started feeling a little bit better.
Amen.
I started thinking, you know, that is the right way to do it.
Yes.
Just turn around.
Amen.
Just repent.
Yes.
Don't try to justify it. Don't try to sanctify it. Don't try to put your idea on it. Just turn around and match the word of God, and then you'll be all right.
Amen.
Then my soul was able to say, oh,
yeah.
Now I look forward to service.
Amen.
Now you done got that off of me.
Yeah.
So that was just one thing.
Yeah.
That was on Sunday. So once I got that off of me, I was able to see Sunday night service, and that was beautiful.
Yeah.
My goodness, some kids can sing.
Amen.
Had a great time with that, got to see that. And through the week, I got to listen to Pastor Moore's message.
Yeah.
Y'all were having church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Man, I missed out on that, but I got to hear it. I got to hear it, and then Tuesday night, normally what me and Brother Jeremiah do, I'll send a little message or something, say, hey, if you're feeling it, take it, you know. But just letting you know, if you're feeling it, it's yours. And he said, I can do it. I'm thinking, okay. He said, but let me know if you get any feeling. And let me know. I said, I'll let you know ASAP. And I said, I will. But I didn't have anything at the moment.
Yeah.
Then that still small voice said, I thought you said you was a help.
Yeah.
I thought you was here to help him.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is helping him if he's got a... If I'm only doing my part, help is when I do somebody else's part.
Amen.
When I help, when I go to push the car, I'm pushing to help you up.
Right.
Like I'm pushing because you can't push anymore.
Yeah.
When somebody's holding your arms up, it's because you've given all you can give.
Right.
Now that's not to say Jeremiah needs my help, but I'm here to help him.
Right.
I'm here to make the burden a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
I'm here to make the load a little bit easier.
Right.
That's what a partnership is supposed to be.
Amen.
That's why it really can't be 50-50. It's got to be 100 and 100. Because
right.
sometimes you're going to do all.
Amen.
Sometimes the other person's going to do all. But that's how this thing should work.
Amen.
So right when I sent that little still small voice said, I thought you was here to help. And I was like, but I don't have nothing. I don't have. He said he has something. I don't have nothing. And I didn't let it. I was like, you know what? I beat myself on Sunday too long.
Yeah, right.
This time I sent a message a minute later. I got something.
Yeah.
I'll be ready by Wednesday.
It's
what? It's coming. The same God that I believed on this whole time is going to, he's obligated
yeah.
to see me through. He will show up. He'll provide a sacrifice.
Yeah.
I'll just have the faith and I'll meet him there.
Yeah.
I'll grab up what I got to get and I'll just make sure. And then you know what? I started going through it and now I'm excited.
Yeah.
He is here. Now you're going to see what I saw.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's why I couldn't sit over there. I'm thinking what I got is what God wants to hear.
Yeah.
God sent me to preach to you. God told me to come and tell you a message. See, I'm walking you through experience. I'm telling you exactly what happened to me. Can't nobody take that away from me. Nobody can take that testimony away from me. I know exactly what God said to me. Oh, my. See, Pastor Moore, when you talk about that royal seed, Abraham, let's get into this. Pastor Moore was talking about that royal seed, Abraham. And I got turned on so much by thinking about that. I thought, you know, when you talk about a royal seed, a seed is the beginning.
Right.
A seed is the first start of it. Like when you invest in it and they go, hey, I'm going to give you some seed money. I'm going to start you off. That's where it starts. He said Abraham had a promise. Abraham's promised seed.
Right.
There was a promise that there was going to be a beginning.
Amen.
But that is not enough. It's great to have the seed.
Amen.
It's great to know that you got something that potentially could have life.
Right.
But so much so that I'm looking at that and go, I could almost say that was the alpha.
Right. Yeah.
I am the omega of that promise.
Right.
I'm the full manifestation of Abraham's seed.
Yeah.
I'm the proof that God promised him.
Right.
Because I embody everything that he said this group would do. Oh, my. So the title of my message tonight is Growing Time is Over.
Amen.
See, when you got a seed, when you got the seed there, it's got things it's got to do.
Yeah.
You got things you got to do. And I'll jump forward a little bit because I want to make sure any naysayers, because they don't ever listen to the whole message. But I'm going to make sure I throw this out there. When I say growing time is over, Brother Steve, back me up. Does any growing happen after the harvest?
No, sir.
When after the harvest happens, that's when the growings have been finished.
Yeah.
So when I say growing time is over, you need to understand that we're in the harvest.
Yeah.
I am the first fruits of what he talked about. I'm the fruits of that seed.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Now I can read the scripture because I'm still just talking to believers. But if the naysayers have already logged off, they at least got to hear that I had something to back that up with. Because they gave Brother Childers down the road for saying that the gospel is over, saying this is over.
Right. Yeah.
But when we get into this,
right,
you'll see that growing time is over.
Amen.
And I know people will say, well, you're ever learning, ever growing. I hear you. Let me present my case first. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. Okay. The last days. Not the first days. Not the middle days. Not the in-between days. The last days. We all can agree on the last. That means it's close to the end. That's just common sense. I don't have to go look that one up. The last day, scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now that's the world talking. Let's go. That's the naysayers, because they don't see what's going on. They don't see that God built a body. It happened right underneath their noses. Let's go over to what the believers are saying. Verse 8 and 9. This is the promise. He says, but beloved, see, not talking to them anymore. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's saying your time is not God's time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, he's saying God promised it. It's going to happen. But his long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the scripture that's for me tonight is, we're going to go over to verse 14 through 18. A little bit of reading, but it's really good. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look after such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. There's some requirements there. And account that the longsuffering our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his apostles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. He's talking about the world. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. You had to grow in the knowledge of this thing.
Yes, sir.
There was a time period where you didn't know. There was going to be a time period where you didn't have access to all things. There was a time period where you would be groping in darkness. But there should eventually come a time that you now know what it is.
Amen.
There should come a time where you wake up and are in full maturity, ready for what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Amen.
That time is now.
Amen.
That time is right now. See, Pastor shared an example about the seed going in the ground, coming out, constantly growing. And when it does that, it's got works. You got works you got to do. You know, even thinking about, he talked about, you know, the field and planting and talked about what Steve was doing. He said, you know, sometimes you got to till the ground, then you got to fertilize it, then you got to water it. These are all stages that you have to do to make sure that you're ensuring that life comes out of this. You're trying to get to that final destination. All that, but I'm not tilling the ground anymore. I don't have the when you're fertilizing, you're trying to get some of the weeds out. But eventually you got to leave it alone or else you're going to mess with the crop. Then when there's a certain time period where you got to water it so much. Then there comes a time right before the harvest where you just leave it alone. You just leave it alone. I don't go through the ground. I don't try to till it. I don't worry about the weeds. I don't worry about the thistles. I don't worry about the thorns. I just leave it alone.
That's right.
Let it just sit there. But that's still not enough. You got to go get the harvest. You got to go round it up. The bride has been rounded up. The bride has been fully identified. That seed that God planted is fully on display now. People go, well, somebody's going to join the church. They were already identified. They were already, they were always a seed. You are now waking up to recognize who that seed was. When you go through the field, it's been planted before you go for the harvest. I'm not going to plant anything else. I'm going to collect what's already been planted. God is coming to collect what he's already redeemed. We are a bride of Jesus Christ. That's why we can identify with the word. The bride has already been identified. There's no more bride going to show up. It's all accounted for. Oh, my. Through the ages, they didn't even know who the bride was.
That's right.
Through the ages, they didn't even know if they were bride. They believed God, they had faith, but they hoped. They prayed. They earnestly sought him. And you, in this perfect condition that God has created, sit here knowing that you're a child of God. I don't hope that I'm a child of God. I don't even pray about being a child of God. I pray about other things. The fruits of the, you know, matter of fact, even when they said they get over there, our fruits are the people that are coming with us. Those are the jewels in our crown. I can understand who we are. I know who Foolish Virgin is. I know other members of the bride. I clearly identify my full body. Oh, my. Even in the natural, your brain doesn't keep growing. Right? There's a certain time period where that brain stops growing. Right, Brother John? My wife can tell you. Gets about 5 years old. It's about 80, 90% of how big it's going to get. It gets to a certain point where that brain stops growing. And now you just start getting knowledge. You start learning how to use the rest of your body. Oh, you start learning how if I do this, that'll happen. If I do this, that'll happen. This body ain't still growing. I've reached full maturity. Now I'm just learning how to use the rest of my body. I'm learning how to go through the scriptures and see myself. I'm getting smarter and smarter in the Word of God. And guess what? I'll be ever learning. But this body ain't growing. He's not adding one more person to this.
Amen.
This elect was positionally placed before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Praise God, little bride. We're standing on our feet.
Yes.
Do you understand what it takes to stand on your feet?
Amen.
There's a lot of mental things that's got to go on for you to know how to stand on your feet. The mind's got to tell everything what to do, how to get the breathing, how to exert the muscle, how to move this, how to balance, how to stay still. You go, oh, Brother Jay, you're just talking. Okay. You get a baby that has a brain and tell it to stand up. First, it doesn't understand the words. Then it doesn't know how to work its body. That baby could be, that baby could be 1 year old, have the same size legs as somebody else that's walking. And if they don't know how to position their mind to do it, they'll wobble, fall down. They got to learn that. They're learning it. The body's been built. The mind age is here. There was a time period where we were learning how to do this, how to stand on our feet, how to manage this, how to manage that. But guess what? Now I'm standing on my feet ready to go. Oh, come on. I'm not trying to get ready. Oh, I even sometimes I'll tell my kids if we're running behind or something, I'll call them and be like, be ready.
Right.
Be ready. I need you to be ready because when I get there, we got to go. Be ready. Don't go get ready. I need you to be ready. That's what Christ said to us. When it's time to go, I need you to be ready. I need you to be ready. You ain't going to have time to go get ready. You're not going to have time to go get oil. You're not going to have time to do any of that. I need you to be ready. Oh, so to be able to stay ready, I'm just sitting here waiting. I'm not going back to get anything. I'm not going back in the scripture to say, oh, maybe if I make this tie with that. No. Brother Branham even said, I don't see one scripture left to fulfill for the bride to get out of here. So I'm not searching the scriptures to hope that I'd make myself ready. I've been ready for a long time, and I ain't tired yet. Oh, Brother Jay, take so much authority. Oh, Brother Jay. No, the scriptures testify that there would be a group that would be ready when he returns. Amen. Oh, the Catholic Church ain't ready. Methodist Church ain't ready. Baptist Church ain't ready. They don't even know what day it is.
Amen.
How you going to be ready when you know what, don't know what time to go?
Amen.
You can't get ready. You don't even know when it's time to go.
Right.
See, it's like just common sense. Just common sense. I got a dog, and if you walk the dog, you get a leash, put your shoes on, go over there, start saying words like, we're going to be going for a walk. It's getting ready. It's like, I can't wait. I'm ready. Come on, open the crate. I heard all the right things. When you open that crate, boom, let's go for that walk. Ready. What if that dog is asleep? Let's go for a walk. What? Wait, hold on. I didn't know we was going for a walk. You didn't give me no heads up. You didn't tell me what was happening. Where's the leash? Why is it dark? I haven't ate yet. What's going on? That's just common sense. But that's what's going on with the church world. They're in total darkness. They don't know what's going on. And God said, when I get there, be ready. They're like, well, when you coming? I don't know who's going to go. Who got to get up? And this bride is sitting saying, I know who's getting up. I know the order they're going to get up. I know who's, I don't even know who to call. I know how to call them by name. I know who to look for. I know how long that we're going to be sitting here. I know how long the marriage supper is. I know what the millennial is. I know what the battle of Gog and Magog is. I know what, I'm so ready. And I don't see why I'm still here. Oh, I don't even see why I'm still here. And you go, oh, Brother Jay, where are you getting that? Where you get that from? Now, Brother Branham said, let me read a quote. I ain't even going to be up here that long. I'm excited.
Amen.
Let me read a quote. Because I like to tie into what the prophet said. Now, this is in the seventh seal. Now, we believe this was in 63 for any critics. You know, it's interesting because I can't help a critic if I wanted to. So I'm just jabbing them the whole time. But I couldn't help them if I wanted to. I could spend my time. Pastor Moore's driven. He's went to Columbus to pick people up. Yeah, I could bend over backwards. I could do everything. Give them free daycare. Give them money. Help them out. Give them food. It wouldn't help them at all. It wouldn't help them at all. So I'll leave them be. Well, let's talk to believers tonight. This is Brother Branham, 1963, the seventh seal. And he says, I know you're tired. This paragraph 230. It's a Wednesday night. I know you're tired. But now just try to listen just for a few minutes. And God of heaven help us is my prayer. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It every bit ends. It is the end. It is the end of a struggling world. It's the end of a struggling nature. It's the end of everything. In there, it's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's the end of time.
Right.
Time runs out. The Bible says so. He says over and he says Matthew, but he meant Revelation chapter 7, 7 chapter, 10th chapter and 7th verse. Time runs out. The angel said, time will be no more. When that in the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time. In the end of the end of the seventh seal. Now notice, it's the end of the church age. The end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal. It's the end of the trumpets, the end of the vials, end of the ushering, end of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. Now I'm just laying that in there for foundation because this is where it gets exciting. It says that's what the seventh seal. It just ends time for the world. It ends the time for this, ends the time for that. Now how is he going to do it? That's what we don't know, isn't it? We don't know it. He said that in 63. He says, notice the breaking of the seal was so great, this is exciting, that heaven was hushed by it.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Amen.
Now, I don't claim to be a theologian, but heaven was only hushed one time.
Yeah.
Let's have that as a reference point. Heaven was hushed one time.
Right.
We understand that in heaven, for those that, in heaven, the angels sing day and night. Because God is on the throne. Constantly. Day and night. There is no cease of them praising God. Because he's on the throne. Notice the breaking of the seal was so great that heaven was hushed by it. In silence for a space of a half an hour. Now, Brother Jay, I know I've heard that before. I've heard silence in heaven for a space of a half an hour. We know what happened during that space of a half an hour. God came down. Now is it great? What is it? It was hushed, heavens. There wasn't a thing move for a half an hour. The angels hushed, they're singing in heaven. God came down. That's when everything was over. He had sat on the mercy seat. He had played it mediator the whole time until everything was identified. Right. Then he could take the cover off and show off his bride. Yep. So now if he's able to reveal it, that means he's finished working on it.
Right.
And when he's finished working on something and it's perfect, what does God do?
Yeah.
He rests.
Right.
Oh, my. Brother Jay, where'd you get that? What did he do in Genesis? That's what he's doing now. What he did in the beginning is what he's doing right now. He sees his bride as perfect, standing on her feet. What can you add to that? You can't add anything to that. Oh, I praise God that I get better understanding. I praise God that I get more learning. I praise God that he helps me along the way. But you're not adding anything to me.
No, sir.
You're foolishness if you think so. What do you add to an apple tree? Nothing. At no point do you need to add more apples to an apple tree. Leave it in the right environment and it will produce the fruit of its kind.
Amen.
You just keep me under the word and I will produce the fruit of my kind. You don't have to add anything to me. You don't even have to watch me. You don't even have to watch me. I will do it automatically. Oh, I'll do it at night. I'll do it in the morning. I'll do it at work. I'll do it at school. I'll do it in my car. I will do this automatically. Oh, but you gotta watch. Watch what? Watch me produce is what you're gonna watch. That's all you're gonna see. How long do you stare at an apple tree? Let that be the guide on how long you need to watch and help me. God is going to work on this old boy, whether you help him out or not. He's going. I'm in the right environment. I'm right here where the S-O-N is. I got the sun beaming down on me. I got the water of the word on me. I'm in the right environment. I'm in fertile, perfect soil. He is taking good care of me. God has smiled on me every day. Oh, my. See, that makes me more secure. That makes me more confident. When I know that he sees me as a finished work. Now, we've even said it, that when God saw the age, when we're looking at the ages, we're putting up there, they're the end of them. That's even how we show the ages. That's the end of each age. So when God sees me, he sees me in my perfect state. He sees me as a finished work. He sees me as already completed the task. Oh, come with me. From day to day, my Heavenly Father has already watched over me. He's already seen me complete this thing. And you know what? This is another thing I want to put in that pipe. I'm doing it. I am the one doing it. He's living out through me. I decide to come to church. I decide to testify. I decide to praise God. I decide to sing. I decide to give my life. Why? Because I want to. I just want to. It's just in me to do it. It's like breathing. I just want to do it. See, the church world will have you thinking that God comes in there and beep, bop, boop, changes your mind. No. He just brings out what's already in it. He doesn't add anything even to the seed. He lays that seed in there, and it'll just do what it needs to do. It'll accept the word, and that word will do everything it needs to do to the seed. And I even like how Pastor Moore, you read that scripture over in Matthew 13, where he's talking about the fruits of their kind, and you know, some will bring this, some will bring that, some will bring this, some will bring whatever. You may bring 30-fold, 60-fold, 90-fold.
Whatever you're ordained to do.
You don't even add to that. If you're ordained to bring 30, bring your 30. That's what you're ordained to do. Don't worry about his 60 or his 90 or my 10. Do your 30. That's all you're ordained to do. I'm not trying to take my 10, add it to yours, and do this and do that. No, no, no. I serve God for myself. Because I don't know if you got your 10. I don't know if you're holding what you got. I can't see your cards. You're holding them close to your chest, but I know what is going on with me. That's why I can't change my shoes for anybody else, because I know for a fact what God is doing for me. Oh, my, my. It's got to be that real, saints. It's got to be that real. You can't let any, if, and that's why even how I like how Paul even said it. He said, if any other angel, any other angel, not just your best buddy, not just your friend, not some Baptist preacher, not somebody you've seen fail, if any other angel from heaven came down here telling you something else, let him be accursed. Oh, does that tie, Brother Jay? Yes, it ties. There's been fallen angels, so an angel could come and tell you something wrong. Oh, my, 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 this thing is perfect. This thing just runs so perfect. I don't even know when to get on and get off. I can start anywhere, wherever I want to, and end up in Revelations and getting on the rapture and getting out of here. Why? Because all roads lead to the rapture for me. That's my job. That's what I got on my plate. Oh, there's times I'm like, Jesus, take this cup from me, but I still am going to do my job. I'm still going to complete what he's obligated me to do. I am ordained for this time period. Do you know it takes a certain type of believer to even live in this age? It takes a certain level of strength to be able to handle this age. God raised up a standard. This is the eagle age. This is, I can't even start off with milk. I got to start with meat. See, you know what that means? There's no baby phase in this age. There's no I didn't know in this age. You know, they say that about law. Like, if you're ignorance of the law is no excuse. No excuse. You don't even get to be ignorant in this day. You don't. The word comes too hot, too simple, too broken down. It's been broken down for 40, 50 years. You don't get to be ignorant.
No, sir.
God is bringing it word upon word upon word upon word. And then he opens up the forum. This is why you don't have no excuse. He opens up the forum to say, hey, listen, if I did preach and you thought you had a question, just ask me. Now, there's preachers that preach their message and just go off and hide. They don't give you a chance to ask no questions. They act like they're so anointed they can't answer your question after the service. God, they'll speak to them when they want it to. You just get away from them while the Spirit's heavy, too holy. Come set an appointment. All these things, these are real things. These are real things. These happen every day. They're happening at church right now. Somebody's preaching and people are going, I don't understand. I'd love to talk about it. And he goes, well, sorry. You got to set some hours. But God will come in here and say,
amen.
Whatever you want to know.
Yeah. Right.
Can I hide anything?
Come on now.
He said, whatever your question is. Amen. If you got a question about Genesis, let's read it and answer it. If you got a question about Revelations, let's read it and answer. Because I serve a God that said, I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. So if you got something that's hindering that faith, let me help you out. I wrote the book. Tell me where you want a question answered from. You want to go over to Jude, Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, wherever you want to go in this thing. Ask it and I'll give you the answer. You have no excuse for ignorance in this day. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they're willingly ignorant.
That's right.
Willingly ignorant.
That's right.
They want to be dumb.
Amen. Come on.
This bride wants to know the Word of God. This bride has a hunger for the Word of God. We're on full maturity, standing on our feet, ready to get out of here.
Amen.
That's what got me excited.
Amen.
I saw that my name is in there.
Yes.
I saw that if I could pick this up, then I'm ready for the journey.
Yes.
I saw that my bags had my name on it.
Right.
Oh, man, see, I love what you... There's so many natural types, and Pastor Moore, you talked about a lot of them on Sunday, and I ain't going to go into any more of them. I just look at that and go, I see my name.
Amen. Right.
I see my name. I see what age I identify with. Because I used to think, oh, we're going to yell out, Paul. That ain't even how it is. No. Bride, amen. Get up.
Amen.
The whole body's got to get up.
Right.
In the order that they get up, God will work that out. Get them up in the right order. The last should be first. The first should be last. He's got the order. He's got the order.
Right.
But guess who's going to be calling for them? It says the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Amen.
Oh, my. You know, that means my language skills have been developed.
Yeah.
That means I understand. See, that's why I looked at that type. I thought, my goodness, I'm not a baby no more.
No.
I know what it is. I can talk for myself.
Yes.
Oh, I don't need you to tell me I need juice. I know what I'm thirsty. I know what I need the word. I know how to take care of it. I know how to make that need met. Get to the house. That's how you get that. That's the best prescription for everything. That'll fix everything. If you're lazy, get to the house. You don't understand something, get to the house. God will make a service just for you if you come expecting it. He'll break it down just for you if you come expecting it.
Oh yeah.
And I saw that. I saw my name in there. I thought, my goodness, thank God I know what it is. I praise God for a group of people that say amen with me.
Amen.
Why? There are so many people through the ages that they didn't have that. Even Brother Branham didn't have that opportunity to fellowship with the bride.
Yeah.
He didn't have that opportunity. He didn't have that opportunity to be around a group of believers. Matter of fact, when he was sitting there talking, he was talking to a bunch of brothers in another room and heard Hattie Wright in another room say that ain't nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Brother Branham stopped what he was doing. Why did he have to stop what he was doing? Oh, yeah, let's make this story common sense. He's sitting with a group of people that are claiming to be believers. Hattie Wright, that's washing dishes or whatever she's doing in the other room,
right,
says that ain't nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
She ain't yelling it.
No.
She's just in the other room saying, that ain't nothing but the truth. Brother Branham, that spirit moved down. God said, finally, somebody that's getting it. This thing's saying the right thing.
Yeah.
Give her anything she wants. Now, I'm sitting here with a group of believers.
Amen.
And you're saying that ain't nothing but the truth.
Amen.
God said, finally, give them anything they want.
Amen.
You want healing? You want this? You want that? Ask what you will. And I'll give it to you right now. That's what he said for Hattie Wright. Matter of fact, he said, if you meet those same conditions.
Amen.
What conditions? That I believe God.
Right.
That I can understand the voice of God. That I hear him when he talks. And I want to do what he wants. Those same conditions. He's obligated.
Yes.
He's obligated to do that same thing for you.
Amen.
I'm standing here, little bride, on my feet, ready to go.
Amen.
I praise God for the truth.
Lord.
I praise God for y'all. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
Amen.
Amen.
This bride is a full age.
Amen.
They're always wanting us to learn, and eventually somebody should know.
Amen.
I mean, they've been learning down through the ages, and they've been wanting to know down through the ages. And they sat and not had answers.
Right.
And had to go home with questions.
Yeah.
And the hour that we're living in now, there's no reason for you to wonder about anything.
Amen.
You know, when you become a man and you start running a house,
right,
you stop asking your dad and mom.
Yeah.
No. When you become a wife and you start making dinner or doing what you're doing around the house, you stop calling mom and daddy and say, what do you want me to do? You know what to do.
Right.
This bride for 2,000 years have asked, what do we need to do?
Right.
Who's going? Who's got it? What is right? Who's wrong? How does this tie? And didn't know.
Right.
Now we got a group of people that actually knows
what it is.
I mean, knows what it is. We're not sitting here guessing.
No.
We're not sitting here with a bunch of fears about, oh, I know a little bit of the Bible, and I don't know.
No.
We're sitting here with perfect understanding. a full age, mature church, mature bride, Amen. Who knows what to do with the word. Amen. And you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get that group together? Oh, so you think you're the only ones? No. But I tell you one thing, whoever's going to be in that bride is going to be the mind age. We'll have this same thing.
Amen.
The bride is not living in fear now.
No.
She's not living here in a bunch of unbelief and trying to figure out, oh, I don't know. You know what? If you're brand new in this and you come here two or three services, you become light years ahead
Amen.
Of any denominational church that you could go to if you take it in.
Right.
Now, if you just sit here and look at me and like, I don't know if I believe that. Well, my bishop said, well, you're not going to go nowhere. You're not going to know nothing.
Right.
You'll be just as dumb as coming and leaving as you did when you got here.
Right.
But when you come here, you lay your ideas down. And then when you lay your ideas down, God gives you revelation.
Right.
He ties the scripture. He makes it run. You know, we haven't had question and answer in a long time because it's like, we got the answers.
Right.
And even the question and answers we have are things that we talk about and things that we make clear, but it's nothing that we have to have. Because one revelation gets you in a rapture.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
That's it.
That's right.
You know, I was sitting there thinking when Jay was talking about growing up and being mature. You know, your soul is not growing.
No.
It's not getting smarter. It's not... It's God in there.
Right.
And God reveals to you what he wants you to know from the inside out.
Right.
When he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he's going to lead and guide you into all truth.
That's right.
Every believer from the day of Pentecost forward walked in the light.
Yes, right.
Some of it, they only had a little bit.
Right.
Some of it, they had more. And some of us, we got 100%. But it wasn't 100% until this day.
That's right. Amen.
And if Luther would have lived long enough, he'd be sitting right here in these benches with us saying amen.
Amen.
If Wesley would have lived long enough, he'd be sitting right here saying amen.
Amen.
The thing is, that's what believers do.
Amen.
They continually grow in the knowledge of the Word of God
right.
while they're here. But it doesn't make us any more perfect or any more eternal than Luther is.
Right. Amen.
We're blessed. That's why Brother Branham asked that question. Out of all the days, all the times you could live, what hours, when would you want to live? If you could choose what day to live in, when would you choose? He said, this right now, this golden hour, this golden age that we're living in now. Because we're sitting here with perfect revelation, and you sitting there thinking you don't know nothing. You don't know. You don't realize how far ahead you are than the rest of the world.
Amen.
They're still trying to figure out who the Pope is. They're still trying to figure out who the Catholic Church is and the denominational churches. They're still trying to figure out what the mark of the beast is.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're still dodging things, trying to get away from the mark of the beast so they won't have to get a mark and go to hell.
Yeah.
They're still fearing going to hell.
I know.
Yeah. You don't realize how blessed you are.
Amen.
You don't realize that we're no longer children tossed
right.
to and fro.
Amen.
But we're standing on our feet. We know what it is. We know what to do with the Word of God. We don't even half answer questions.
Right.
Man,
amen.
You go someplace, like, well, it could be like this. It could be like that. Could be, no, this is what it is.
Amen.
You know, somebody's got to know what it is.
Yes.
When the bride is mature, and she is.
Yeah.
And when the bride stands on her feet, and she does.
And she does.
Like Jay said, you can only stand on your feet if your mind is right.
Right.
If your mind's not right, you can't stand on your feet.
No.
If you're just a little baby, you're still trying to figure out how to walk, you won't know what to do. You don't know how to feed yourself. Thank God for parents. Because if you were a newborn baby and they just threw you out there and said, okay, now you go work, eat, change your diaper, get with it, you die.
Right.
It's not expected for them to do and act like us.
Right, amen.
But because we are the mature body, the bride body is fully developed now.
Right.
We're not missing a breast. We're not missing an arm. We're not missing a leg. We're not missing anything. We are fully developed,
Amen.
And now she knows what she wants.
Amen.
She knows what she wants. And she's doing it.
Yeah.
And God ain't even worried about trying to come and do it for us. Isn't that funny? We're talking about the rapture, and Jesus said, I ain't doing it. I don't need to do it. Why should I do it when you can do it? I see sometimes the brothers get out of church, they go sit in the passenger seat. They drive all week, and they don't feel like driving. You know what they do? They put the wife in the behind the wheel. Yeah, you drive. She can do it. She can handle it.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you know what? When the rapture happens, I already brought my rapture on. I already did mine. I did mine 2,000 years ago. That's why I had to rebuke Mary when she said, when the end time come, Lord, yeah, your dead are going to get up. Lazarus will get up when the dead. Jesus said, hey, I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
Straighten your eyes up. You know who I am.
Right.
When Jesus come out of the grave, he come out and he raptured the church with him.
That's right.
And he said, the next time somebody's on the earth that has a mind, that's got their right mind, that knows what it is, that knows what to do, that can do this, they'll get the dead up. So Jesus said, the dead's going to get up, but I ain't doing it. I'm going to meet you halfway. I'm going to meet you in the middle of the field, like Isaac and Rebecca.
Wow.
He's going to meet us halfway.
Amen.
So somebody down here has to know how to get the dead up.
Amen.
Somebody down here has to know who the dead that are getting up is.
Right.
You ask the church world, who's going to get up? Oh, only God knows. Yes, that's right. We know how and who, and we know all of that. All we're doing is waiting on him to say, come on, meet me in the air. That's how, we're not trying to pump up a resurrection. It's already on. We're already in the middle of it. We're already back to the Garden of Eden condition in every sense of the word except for in our houses. And that's a minor move.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
We are a full age church.
Yes.
And people who look at you, they don't understand how you could be like you are. How you could take so much of you being a man, make yourself equal with God. They just don't know who we are.
Right.
I am equal with God.
Because
I am God.
Right.
I am the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On the earth, doing the last little bit that God's going to do before he gets us out of here. I was thinking about that seventh seal. I'm going to say this. I'm going to get us out of here. That seventh seal, and when you read that quote, I was like, that seventh seal is God coming every time. It's he himself.
Amen.
And he doesn't just come at the opening of the seal. He came many times. In your quote, he said that seventh seal was the end of all things. Whenever he comes, he ends things. Whether it's the end of the church age time, whether it's the end of the Jews trip. Remember what's going to happen when he goes to the Jews. That's the seventh seal. He's going back to Israel, and he's going to finish that. He's going to finish time. That's going to be the seventh seal. He's going to deal with the Jews. He's going to deal with the Gentiles. And every time you talk about it, he's talking about the seventh seal. Whenever you get the seventh seal on the scene, he finishes things.
Yep.
It is finished. It is finished. So that's my thinking, because I'm thinking seventh seal is when he ended the seven churches, and he's there at the end of the seven churches. But remember, the book of Revelation is a book of symbols.
Yeah.
The seventh seal is God.
Yeah, it's right.
The ender of all things.
Yes.
Omega. on any level.
Yep.
What came to you at your new birth? The seventh seal.
Right.
It was the end of struggling nature. He finished that. Finished the seven churches. What happened? Seventh seal come on the scene.
Amen.
He himself.
Yeah.
Israel. Seventh seal come on the scene.
Yeah.
He himself. When the earth gets destroyed the first time, that's not the seventh seal.
No.
That's part of the sixth seal. All that happened under the sixth seal.
Yeah.
But when he comes back,
right.
When there's no root of stubble, when he brings them up to the great white throne judgment,
That's the seventh seal on the Satan against he himself. And what's he going to do? He's going to finish it out. He's going to finish the fight. Annihilate everything that's not his. So the seventh seal is the ending of all things, like Brother Branham said and like you read. And I just had, heard you read, and I said, huh, looky there. It's good. But we're not children now. We're full age. We're grown. The seventh seal has come. So if the seventh seal has come, something ended. If you don't believe the church age are ended, then you don't believe the seventh seal's come. If you don't believe the seventh seal is taking care of your old nature, then you don't believe he's come inside of you. So you start looking at that and you start looking back and say, well, wait a minute. He's all of that. It's the end of the struggling nature, whether it's natural or spiritual. Enjoyed it, Brother Jay. Amen. I'm always glad to receive something from the Lord. That's something to think about, huh, Jeremiah? And it's like, well, you know, interesting. But I don't see where it's any other way. Amen. Come on, musicians. Now, we're winding up the year. Remember Brother Don Parnell. He's back in the hospital again. Old Satan's messing with him again. Keep him in your prayers. You know, sometimes when you have these surgeries, you go in and out. You get infections. You get something. It's this, this. But just keep him in your prayer. We don't give up on people. We keep praying for them. And guess what? I talked to Sister Honeycutt yesterday. I was sitting on the couch, just sitting there watching the news, and they were talking about the weather, the bad weather's going across. And I thought, I just wonder if I dial this number. I still have her in my phone. I said, I wonder if I dial this number, if someone on the other end will answer. So I pushed that button, and I heard Sister Honeycutt. I said, well, God bless you, sis. She said, Brother Moore. I was still in her phone. She said she was just thinking about us the other day, and she mentioned to me, now, Brother Honeycutt passed away 2 years ago in 2020. He passed away, but it was amazing. I mean, she said, I got to tell you this testimony, and I won't take much time, but the bottom line is, when he got to the last stage of his life, he's laying in bed, and he told her, I don't want to go back to the hospital no more. And she said, Brother Moore, she said, I got to tell you this testimony. She said, it was the most beautiful passing that I've ever seen. She said, he's in his bed, and he told her, he said, look, he said, he could see his relatives standing up. He said, he's standing, they're standing right up there. Give me a ladder so I can get to them. She said, oh, honey, just don't worry about it. You'll get to see him. You'll get up there with him. And then she said that he was laying there a little bit later and said he saw two angels come into the room. And they told him, said, now, you just rest. And we're going to come back and get you in a little bit. And she got to talk to her family, and he told her that. And she called the kids and said, if y'all going to see your dad, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, you better come on. So they all come back. And then it just, he went so peaceful, and it's just, there's more to it. I couldn't tell it like she did. One person saw the light come into the room, and then like an arm reached down to him just as he passed, and took him out of there. And I thought, my, what a way to go. Yeah. Makes you want to go. But Sister Honeycutt's doing good. She had been sick, but she's doing fine. She was so tickled to talk to us. So, remember her, because she's got some things going on with her body. She's older now, and her daughter's fighting some issues, so remember their family in your prayers. And I also talked to Brother Peterson, and I got to talk to him the other day, yesterday, actually, it both was yesterday, and he called to thank me for letting him come Sunday, and I said, I wanted to call you to thank you for coming, and I just hadn't done it, so we got to talking, and I told him, I said, well, maybe after the new year, because we're so busy right now. I said, after the new year's, we're going to come up again and see you in January. So come up after the new year start, Lord willing. So we're going to, he said he wants to fellowship. He wants to, you know, he says he prays for me every day. And I can't,
I can't help but go see somebody who prays for me every day. You know, and that's all. So we'll plan another trip up to London, Ohio. sometime after the New Year's. And I invited him to New Year's. I told him, I said, we're going to have New Year's service. I know it's a long ways from London. If you want to come down, you're welcome. So he said he's going to pray about it. And so I haven't really invited anybody to come much, but I just feel like when I feel led, I open an invitation. But we're going to have New Year's service coming up. When is that? 2 weeks from Saturday? 3 weeks? Huh? 2 weeks from Saturday? All right. 2 weeks from Saturday. Don't make it three because you'll be here on after. So we got New Year's service come up. We're going to have dinner at 6. Services somewhere around 8. Communion and foot washing. We'll do that as well. So it's going to be a full night. Make plans and don't be late. Amen. Brother Don. Right. Yes, sir.
Brent Summers, many of you know him.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go to Brother Dehart's church. And the name of his wife, Kathleen, is Christian. He asked her to pray.
Amen.
Whether he knows or not, he didn't just ask anybody, another brother, to pray. He asked her to God.
Amen. Amen.
And I wanted to bring it before the body.
Yes. That's it.
And speak the word. You got to honor that word. He just said tonight, ask what you will.
Ask. That's right.
There's ever a time to ask what you will.
That's exactly right.
Believing, not doubting in your heart. So I wanted to get a maybe a prayer call real quick.
Yeah.
A quick, simple prayer. Brother Bram never had a drug out thing when he prayed. He really well.
No, sir.
We do talk. We do too.
Amen. That's right. Amen. No, and that's what I said about Sister Honeycutt. She said, "Remember her family. Remember her daughter." And yeah.
I was coming back on Sunday. We were in Kentucky, and we were just excited to hear the testimonies when Brother John and Brother Jim. Those elders spoke from a place of being positive in God and not even giving the adversary any credit, and I love that.
Right.
And I'm just thankful for that. And you know, as we were with our Kentucky family, this Trevor situation is 5 years where it's been up and it's been down, and I'm gonna hear like Bro Jim, I'm not even begging God. God, I believe he will go all the way through it.
Amen.
I don't want that we know too much about science and all these things. I don't even want to hear it.
Right.
I want his operation to be good.
Amen.
I want him to be able to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Be able to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want another surgery on that poor boy.
Mm-mm.
And I just want to believe for him.
Amen.
He loves God.
Amen.
He really does.
Amen.
And this life's been hard on him, but I'm not giving Satan any credit.
Mm-mm.
I thank God for bringing him all the way through, and I'm thanking God for elders that keep us looking onward and upward, and I'm just proud of to be in this place. So I just want to add Trevor to this song. We're praying about
him. Amen. We'll remember him as well. Amen. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you this evening as believers, knowing that your word is true. You said by your stripes we're healed. And Father, we know that as believers, we're coming to you knowing that you hear us, expecting you to resolve the issues, whether it's Trevor's body, whether it's Brother Bryn's wife's, just ask you to move in those behalf and touch in those needs. Lord, we ask you to touch Sister Honeycutt's daughter. Ask you to remember Brother Parnell. And Lord, move Satan back and allow him to get healing that he needs so badly in his body. Lord, as we come, we remember the body. We remember all the requests that's been brought forth. And we keep them before you, Father. Thank you for everything. And we really appreciate and love you for that, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you in advance for moving in these behalfs, so that these testimonies can come back to confirm and just give you the glory for what you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Don.
Amen.
You sure can.
We're early.
Yeah, no, we're not in a rush.
I wanted to testify earlier today, too, because it's been so long since I've been here, but I wasn't feeling condemnation like you were.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know what?
I got something to say.
I guess I'll take that back, because I was thinking, I don't want anyone thinking that I'm in and out, I'm on this roller coaster or anything like that, because if I'm gone, it's because I have to be gone.
That's right.
And then your testimony reminded me of why I was gone on Wednesday. I had to go to a Young Life thing, and, my daughter loves Young Life, and it's kept her out of a lot of trouble.
Right.
I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
She doesn't have what I have, but she's going for it.
And amen.
There was a young man that I met. He has a broken spine. And I was thinking, we prayed for him there, and I was thinking I was going to give him a prayer cloth, and I'm just going to piggyback on that prayer.
Yes. Amen.
I know who heals.
That's right.
And I got a prayer cloth for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I want him to be healthy and happy and have a good life. But I was just thinking, my husband, he's been gone too, but he's been working. And just what he gives to my life is exactly from here.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever kind of situation I find myself in, what's the word say about
Amen.
It? I know. Now, I don't even ask him a whole lot. And I don't have to tell, I don't know. I just think.
Amen.
Yes. Thinking about my mom. Today's my mom's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And she, in the summer, like 1 week into retirement, I had to go call the ambulance for her. Her sugar was 400. She couldn't get off the ground. And today we celebrated her birthday.
Amen.
And she's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's healthy. And she's 72 years old, and she can still paint a house on the outside.
I mean, amen.
She's very healthy. My dad doesn't have one single problem. I'm thankful for that.
That's right. Thank God for health.
My mom and dad. We got to celebrate some things. Today is actually Doug's mom's birthday, and I was thinking about them, just how much my in-laws put into that man.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be more thankful for everything they've done. I was listening to your service on Sunday, so when I'm not here, I still listen.
I know, that's right.
Sometimes it's live, and so I got to hear your message last Sunday, and I'm taking it in, and talked to someone after church, and I'm like, you know what? As a matter of fact, my pastor was talking about this morning, and I can't remember now what it was, but I said, this is what he said, and, solve this person's problem, right? Well, they're a little negative, and so they kept going. I'm like, you are not going to believe this, but this happened 3 times that you answered that person's problem, and whether they take it or not, I don't know, but I know where to get the answers.
Amen.
And your message, and then your message tonight, they just were so similar, but the whole time you were preaching, I kept thinking, I am God's favorite song.
Amen. Amen.
Remember that song we used to sing? Mm-hmm. We'd sing it all the time. I was favorite. I beat nature.
That's right.
That's it.
Amen.
I don't know if I beat these people, but I kind of feel like I do. This was the final.
That's right.
Everything wrapped up. I'm just, I love it here. I love everybody.
Amen. 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 Well, all I know is I keep falling in love with him. Over and over and over and over again. Every service. Amen. Why wouldn't you want this? Oh, my. Come back Sunday. Expecting. See what God has in store for us. Amen. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over.